the test next Tuesday. I have to go to court on Tuesday night. Can I take that without taking a grade drop?
Yeah. John Butterworth?
2 years, I guess.
So is that 2 years?
No.
Chuck Becker?
3 years.
What's he say? How about Mr. Reese? What's he say? Is that his signature? See, he's waiting on all of you. All right. Did you ever go over Mark 16 in class? If you went over it, I didn't pass your time this time, I should have remembered that. Parks?
Yes. Choice of heart.
Somebody turned in with these tests, somebody turned in their file 13. They've got writing on it here. I couldn't tell whose it was, I don't know. The only writing is this little squish scribbling up there. Is that one of you?
Yep, that's right.
If we have time, we'll go over this quiz. If not, we'll cover it next time. I won't give you another until we go over this one. Assignment on Acts 20:28 that doesn't have a name on it. I don't know.
Looks like it is.
I think you can identify that.
Deep.
busy guy, Lane.
Have to get something done now and then. Continuing on, we'll go over that assignment later. Argument number 5. TR manuscripts are the best manuscripts because they properly exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, while older manuscripts used by Westcott and Hort do not. These later manuscripts, B and Aleph, later in discovery but earlier in date, often omit Lord and or Christ, rule number 3. Showing the copyists of these manuscripts did not believe that Jesus is Lord or Christ. It is often alleged that TR manuscripts honor and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, while older manuscripts do not. By the way, this is a common argument. Very common. Now, we would say that's rule number 3. Manuscripts tended to add those words, and earlier manuscripts seem to omit them. We've made a rule, the shorter reading is most likely the best. Answer to this argument. This type of argument is entirely misleading, if not completely dishonest. TR and King James advocates profess a deep love for truth. However, they are often shown to be perpetrating completely false and misleading information. They profess a love for truth, but are often found perpetrating false, misleading information. In fact, any alleged cover-up of truth is found more among their ranks than any place else. Let me give an example of cover-up of truth in the TR ranks. They are constantly accusing Aleph, B, and Westcott and Hort of Catholic association. They never talk about Erasmus, the Vulgate, or the TR and their Catholic association. As though B being owned by the Catholic Church in the Vatican has actually altered the content of manuscript B. There's no association of Catholicism with manuscript B, even though the manuscript's owned by the Roman Church. That doesn't mean that they've gone in and tampered with the thing. They blast Aleph for containing the Apocrypha, while never telling you the original King James contained the Apocrypha. Now, let me talk about Jesus, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, etc. King James and TR advocates tell you only part of the story and then jump to some type of slander judging the motives of those that favor the Westcott and Hort. Now, the King James uses several variations of the name. For example, in the book of Acts, Jesus occurs 35 times. Jesus Christ occurs 10 times. Lord Jesus Christ occurs 6 times. Lord Jesus occurs 12 times. What does that show? Nothing. Nothing at all. It shows that the writer of the book of Acts often had the Lord and often omitted Lord, often included Christ and often omitted Christ. Let me repeat that. In the book of Acts, Jesus is found 35 times. Jesus Christ is found 10 times. Lord Jesus Christ is found 6 times. And Lord Jesus is found 12 times. What does that show? Nothing. How about NAS? Put these figures next to that and label them NAS. In NAS, Jesus is found 44 times. Jesus Christ is found 9 times. Lord Jesus Christ is found 2 times. And Lord Jesus is found 15 times. What does that show? Nothing. To allege there's some type of motive in the NAS translators omitting the full name Lord Jesus Christ from 6 down to 2 is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The fact that they have it 2 times is repudiation of the whole idea. Rather, NAS is going by earlier manuscripts in the King James, which follow Rule 3 and have omitted Lord and Christ in a few places. Not that many, just a few. Does the fact that the book of Acts contains Jesus 35 times in the King James prove that the King James translators don't like Lord or Christ? The name occurs in various forms throughout the whole New Testament. For example, looking at the epistles of Paul and the general epistles, the King James has Jesus 30 times, Lord Jesus 16 times, Jesus Christ 93 times, and Lord Jesus Christ 76 times. What does that show? Nothing. It just shows there's a variety of ways in which the name occurs. I didn't count in NAS that particular section, but you can grab it. There's an NAS concordance over at the bookstore here. Maybe be one in the library, so maybe I can get my figures now. Let me give you some places where the reverse is true, in which the King James could be accused of denying the Lordship of Christ. Matthew 16:21 NAS says Jesus Christ. The King James says Jesus. For shame. 1 Corinthians 6:11, NAS has Lord Jesus Christ, King James has Lord Jesus. Acts 24:24, NAS has Christ Jesus, King James has only Christ. What does that show? Nothing. Doesn't show any such thing. That type of an argument, in my opinion, is reflective of the overall subject and the position of those that argue for the King James and the TR. Argument number 6. It is also alleged that the Westcott and Hort text and NAS Bible deny the virgin birth of Christ. Note Luke 2:33. King James. Joseph and his mother. NAS, his father and mother. Note the diff. Luke 2:33. King James, Joseph and his mother. NAS, his father and mother. TR advocates point this out as how careful the King James was, and the TR is, to make sure that Joseph is not called his father, because we all know that he wasn't. Whereas NAS, put out by liberals, although it was put out by conservatives really, says his father and mother, saying and denying the virgin birth. Now, my answer to that is this. Taking this item out of context is completely unfair to NAS and Westcott and Hort, and very biased and unreasonable. Note in the King James, Luke 2:41, Jesus' parents, plural. Luke 2:41 in the King James. Luke 2:48, Mary refers to Joseph as Jesus' father. Now, those that read these verses in the King James have no problem interpreting this to refer to Joseph's legal position as Jesus' father. They immediately say, well, that refers to his legal position. And I say, why do you have so much trouble finding that interpretation when you read NAS in Luke 2:33, his father and mother, meaning his father in a legal sense and mother? Why can you interpret it correctly over there and you can't back in Luke 2:33? Also, NAS translates Luke 1:27 virgin, Matthew 1:20, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, Matthew 1:23, the virgin, Matthew 1:25, kept her virgin until. Now, NAS is real plain on those verses. Why do they not take those verses and harmonize Luke 2:33 with the other places? This type of argument is typical of TR advocates. They are full of ad hominem arguments. Attacks against the motive of the person. They're constantly attacking the motive of Westcott and Hart, the motive of NAS. There is no evidence of any consistent doctrinal change in the Westcott and Hort text or in any manuscripts that support it. Copyist errors generally follow no consistent doctrinal pattern, although there are a lot of variants on the Godhead, and that's to be expected because of the early church. But any other doctrine is just a random smattering of variants throughout the New Testament. Certainly nothing can be proven in this area, and there's nothing that affects the tenor of Scripture. Even the Godhead can be interpreted in light of the TR or Westcott and Hort and come up with the truth. To prove a purposeful doctrinal change, one would have to show that most of the verses on that doctrine were changed. And this is impossible because of the minority of errors. Argument number 7. This argument is an argument for position 2, another one of those, the majority text. An argument for position 2. Even if the TR is not inspired, it is still the best text, as argued by Bergen, Scrivener, and Edward Miller, who argue for a majority text. Bergen, by the way, argued for a majority text, as with Scrivener and Edward Miller. Now, in answer to this, among the 70 or so manuscripts dating before 400 AD, none are of the TR type. Among the 70 manuscripts that can be dated before 400 AD, none are of the TR type. Next, quotations from the early Christian writers, called patristic quotations, or writings of the church fathers, of about 100 writing before 400 AD, the first one known to have used the TR text type was Chrysostom, who died in 407. So of all the early church fathers, Chrysostom in 407, died in 407, is the first to use the TR text type in his quotations. Next, none of the early versions, Latin, Syriac, or Coptic, use the TR text type. The earliest known version to be of the TR text type is the Syriac Peshitta, P-E-S-H-I-T-T-A, a very famous version, because it is the earliest known one to support the TR text type. It's a lot of studies done on it, and it's very famous. In fact, some even dated it in the second century, trying to get more oomph to the TR. But there's no evidence of its existence before the 5th century AD.
educational criteria for the...
Remember our three categories, Greek manuscripts, fathers, versions. Of the 70 Greek manuscripts before 400 AD, none of them are TR. Of 100 early writers before 400 AD, Chrysostom is the earliest for the TR. And of the early versions, Latin, Syriac, and Coptic, the earliest known version to be of the TR text type is the Syriac Peshitta, which dates 5th century or later. Thus, textual evidence is against the TR being the best text type. It is not the text type supported by the earliest and best evidence. Now, you can say it's the best text type, but you're saying it on prejudice, not on evidence. The weight of evidence is that it is a later text type. Now, a typical TR response to this is that the reason there are no early TR text type manuscripts is because they were used so much they wore out. That's an actual answer. The reason there aren't any early manuscripts of the TR is because they were used so much they wore out. But I add, they were certainly not wore out by church fathers, who never quote them, and not by early translators, who don't translate them. So rather than say they wore out, I would say it's more likely they didn't exist. Because if they were being used so much, they would have been used by these church fathers and by these early translators. Also, another statement. In the study of errors, certain scribal tendencies began to emerge, and we began to categorize these into types of variants. And after a while, we can identify the probability of a variant being one way or the other way based on the type of variant without even knowing the date of manuscripts. Types of errors can be categorized and identified, and the TR text type exhibits many of these types of errors, showing it to be a later text type, one that has not been copied as carefully as the earlier text type. Gordon D. Fee, as in Gordon, middle initial D, last name F-E-E, did a study in the Gospels. In one section of the Synoptic Gospels, the Byzantine text contained 38 harmonizations as compared to only one in the Alexandrian text type. Now, there is a type of variant that was identified, and that was harmonizations among Matthew, Luke, Mark, and Luke. They found that were harmonizations often occurring. And just by studying the variants and determining a textual judgment on that without even looking at manuscripts, going by that and then coming up with a textual judgment, the Byzantine text contained 38 major harmonizations, or the wrong reading in 38 places. And the Alexandrian text type contained only one harmonization, or the wrong reading in only one place, showing again the Byzantine text type not to be superior. And see, these are the type of arguments that are data, that are concrete, that are evidence, not just it was used so much it wore out. I mean, there is no hardcore evidence to support the claim. And critics have to go on the evidence. This is a scientific study, really. Why should the New Testament go on different principles than all the other branches of Greek literature, ancient writings in the field of textual criticism? See, it doesn't make any sense.
What do you mean by harmonization?
Harmonization, where Matthew and Mark were brought into harmony to read identical. And we have said a principle is different readings are to be preferred. Because scribes tend to harmonize and make them read the same in parallel passages. Argument number 8. The Westcott and Hort text omits many time-honored passages which the TR retains. Now, we are familiar with some of these. The Westcott and Hort text omits Mark 16, the woman taken in adultery, Christ, as it were, sweating great drops, as it were, of blood. There are some passages that they omit, which I would retain myself. To this statement, they quote Revelation 22, 18 and 19. If any man take away from the words of this book, God shall take away from him his portion of the tree of life. They also accuse Westcott and Hort of being modern Jehoiakims who cut out what they don't like. Remember, Jehoiakim burned the roll of Jeremiah when he didn't like it, or whatever he did. I think he burned it. Answer. It is true Westcott and Hort omit passages that the King James retains. It's also true that I would include some of them that Westcott and Hort retain, omit. But many that they omit have virtually no manuscript support. Many have virtually no manuscript support. Also, Revelation 22, 18 and 19 is not referring to the TR. It is instead referring to the autograph which Westcott and Hort are seeking to preserve. Let me speak from Westcott and Hort's shoes in reference to the TR. If any man add unto these words, God shall add unto him the plagues written into this book. TR advocates always argue as though the TR is the autograph, instead of realizing it's a text and we're in a debate. The TR also omits some passages which Westcott and Hort retain. 1 John 3:1, and that is what we are, is omitted by the TR, and that is what we are. Jude 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, is omitted by the TR. Through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages. Next answer. These omissions hardly amount to any percentage of the New Testament, the vast majority being in the Gospels, where parallel passages cover the same material. Now, we did conclude that sweating, as it were, great drops of blood was in no other passage, so it was either there or no place, and also the woman taken in adultery. But most of them are also in other parallel passages, and while it may be omitted in one Gospel, it's included in another. So the truth is not lost. Also, none of these passages, even if they are lost, really affect our salvation or the overall understanding of truth.
How much heat did Westcott and Hort take in their day?
By that time, the church accepted it, but men like Bergen and others argued against him. But Westcott and Hort generally had the support of the church. Number 9. I quote from Edward F. Hills. Edward F. Hills. The defense of the TR, therefore, is a necessary part of the defense of Protestantism. It is entailed by the logic of faith. The few significant departures of that text from the traditional text are only God's providential corrections of the traditional text. Hence, as Orthodox Protestant Christians, we believe that the formation of the TR was guided by the special providence of God. Now, he says the majority text is wrong, where the TR is inspired. Now, my answer to this statement is that the logic of faith should not contradict all known history and factual data. The logic of faith should not contradict all known history and factual data. Faith in what? Misguided prejudice and tradition? It is this type of reasoning that makes it almost impossible to talk to people who hold to the TR. Once they associate true Christianity with the TR, they are extremely close-minded to any sort of logical discussion, even equating all logic and textual criticism with the natural man that knoweth not the things of the Spirit of God. And you run into all kinds of arguments that you just finally pull your hair out and give up. All facts contrary to the TR are said to be part of a master strategy of Satan to ruin the Bible. Hence, they're written off without ever even needing an answer. And so to even talk to these people, they don't even get anywhere. I would also say, let's not parallel orthodoxy with the TR. Once they start associating the TR with orthodoxy, they can hide behind orthodoxy. And the two things become merged, and it's very difficult to refute. Let's not parallel Protestantism with the TR. Remember, the TR was given to us by a Catholic named Erasmus. If I'm going to hold that logic, then I believe Westcott and Hort was guided by God to update the TR, and that UBS was guided by God to update Westcott and Hort. By the way, they're more Orthodox and more Protestant than Erasmus.
What were they? Were they
any...
They weren't Catholic,
right?
They were just scholars.
I don't know. Metzger sounds like an Episcopalian. I don't know.
Westcott, not Hort.
I think they were Anglicans. I'm not sure where they were exactly. It's been alleged that Hort prayed to Mary and all this kind of thing. I mean, I don't know. I don't really care. To me, that argument is, you know, again, ad hominem type argument. Argument number 10. The King James Version of the Bible is inspired by God. God will not accept any other translation. Quote, when the Bible words are tampered with and substitution is made, the Bible becomes a dead thing, with neither power to give or sustain life. But what about regeneration? Are they born again? No person can be born again without the Holy Spirit. And it is evident the Holy Spirit is not going to use a poisoned bloodstream to produce a healthy Christian. A man-made substitute, although used in all sincerity, cannot save a soul. Now these are quotes made by a number of different people on this subject. Peter Ruckman, a Baptist pastor from Florida, is on radio all across America. He rapidly attacks everyone who does not read the King James. He believes mistakes in the King James 1611 are advanced revelation. He says, quote, where the majority of Greek manuscripts stand against the AV 1611, put them in file 13. File 13 is the round file. Quote, apostasy is defection from the truth and comes first in rejecting the authority of the AV, authorized version. He refers to NAS, Westcott and Hort, etc. as the Alexandrian cult. Anyone referring to Greek or Hebrew is accused of correcting the Bible and denying inspiration. Because of Ruckman's dogmatism and charisma and genius, blended together with a conservative Baptist background, he is winning many pastors and laymen alike to his position. Because they have made defending the King James a litmus test for orthodoxy, and they always speak as though they are the only ones with a belief in the inspiration of Scripture, they naturally appeal to true conservative Christians. There's even a King James Baptist Church and a King James Baptist College, even though King James persecuted the Baptists. Go ahead.
Is there a major attack against the NAS today? I know that years ago...
They attacked the NAS, but generally NAS is very acceptable among conservatives. The RSV was attacked by conservatives, and not that many conservatives accepted the RSV. I've never liked the RSV, although it's maybe more the flavor than any actual translation. The RSV isn't that bad of a translation.
Well,
case of like Peter Rutland would be coming against NAS by name?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. The King James itself is subject to textual criticism. We already went over that in our other notes. The original 1611 edition is lost, and there are many different editions of it. I quoted to you the Wicked Bible, the Fool Bible, the Unrighteous Bible, etc., etc., etc. It is estimated that our King James today has 75,000 changes in it. 75,000 changes in our King James today from the 1611 edition. For example, the word since used to be Sith, S-I-T-H. And there's one place in Ezekiel 35:6 where Sith is still found. They missed one. Sith means since in Ezekiel 35:6. I have another quote that says there are 30,000 changes in the 1611 edition to the present edition. So I have two different quotes. One says 75,000, one says 30,000. I'm not worried about either one of them. They both just show the King James wasn't inspired. Peter Ruckman answers all of this on the King James by saying, "The sum total of all lithographical errors in any edition of the AV still produces a text that is superior to all editions of the ASV, NAS, even where they don't have one typographical error." But in saying this, he admits typographical errors in the King James, and then says it's still superior to NAS. But that blows his inspiration theory and his providential protection theory. The providential hand of God failed to keep his word free from error. Let me read another quote. "An accurate typesetter setting type for Satan," the faculty members of the University of Alexandria, for example, "is not to be preferred over a commercial fisherman," Peter, for example, "misspelling words due to his lack of education." Now, we have examined typesetter's errors in 1611 and how these were corrected in 1613, but I thought they were inspired. Further, we have found some errors in the press of 1613 and noted how these were corrected back in line with the original text of 1611. So today we have the 1611 text preserved without error. Huh? Another quote. "It is the culmination and final work of the Holy Spirit in the church age in a world that is English-speaking. It is superior to all American translations, for none of them were translated under a king," Ecclesiastes 8:4, which has nothing to do with the price of tea in China, "and none of them had any motive in mind but to replace the God-honored text." Whatever may have been wrong, to quote the Alexandrian cult, with the Bishop's Bible, Tyndale, Geneva, Matthew, or Coverdell, is rectified in the King James, etc. Concerning Peter Ruckman, much could be written. While proclaiming orthodoxy, he himself was one of the most unorthodox fundamentals around. It is safe to say that he has many totally original interpretations. He predicts the second coming of Christ in 2004 AD. His commentary on Matthew is billed as the first real commentary ever written on Matthew. He also says no Christian in his right mind could reconcile the Sermon on the Mount with the Pauline epistles. He also says that many angels will soon appear as men from outer space. There will be no females in heaven, and that traveling from east to west honors God, and moving from west to east dishonors God. Also, demons like warm, wet places, perhaps Florida. Ruckman uses a lot of ad hominem. He calls his opponents an apostolic succession of bloated egotists, cheap lying scoundrel, pathological liars, hot-headed fanatics and crackpots, dead orthodox conservatives who are pushing the latest dump truck, out-and-out crooks, conservative asses whose brains have gone to seed, bifocal serpent. He classes Southern Baptist conservative ATR with Adolf Hitler and Charles Manson. He also calls some a sissified muckraker and a poor penny-waste dumbbell. I myself tuned into his broadcast one day, and when he made a certain point, he said, "See what I mean, Jelly Bean?" Referring to theological teachers of conservative schools, quote, "They are probably responsible for more damage to the body of Christ than all of the Catholics, liberals, and neo-evangelicals combined. Their death ministries are incalculable." Pretty strong language for other Baptists. Ruckman evidently excuses himself by believing that Christ also behaved this way. In his commentary on Matthew, he writes of Christ, "The Lord Jesus is standing, fist clenched, face reddened, veins distended in his forehead, and teeth flashing as the bearded jaw works over his listeners savagely." He also states that Christ used invectives, insults, jeers, and vilification. He seems to be molding Christ to his own savage, rude, fallen nature. Now, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on Ruckman. I could, read you a lot out of his newspapers. In fact, I should probably bring some and read some of his stuff. What should be our attitude toward this issue and those that hold this position? My attitude is Romans 14:1, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." I consider them weak in the faith. Arguing the point appears to be divisive and not productive. However, they want to argue with me, and maybe I will have to argue a little bit on it. But I wouldn't make it a doctrine to promote. Even if I get them converted, what have I done? Basically nothing. Converting them from the TR text type to the Westcott and Hort text type doesn't open them up to being spirit-filled, doesn't deliver them from anything, it doesn't produce anything. What they need to do is get spirit-filled. 1 Corinthians 8:11 to 13 says that talks about the weaker brother and stumbling him, and that knowledge puffeth up, love edifieth. Let's not sweep people off their foundation. It's usually not very good to ridicule the King James, because you leave a mistaken impression, come off as a liberal, and if you do knock holes in the King James, you may knock them off their foundation. And if they've already been taught that NAS is totally defunct and Catholic, they've got nothing left. They could lose their salvation. People who read the AV as inspired will make the kingdom. The question is, are you obeying and walking in it? Another point of perspective. The whole topic concerns only a small portion of the New Testament. So let's not get all caught up in majoring in the minors. How do we handle the belligerence of TR King James advocates? Well, feel free to defend your position. I would rather not campaign the issue, because I feel like other Baptist conservatives are eventually going to get tired of Ruckman's verbal abuse and are going to rise up through books and tracts and refute him. So I'll let the Baptists take care of their own and refute him, and I'll go on preaching the message of what God's given me. The King James really is a good translation. It's adequate, has no major faults. In fact, we have corrected many of its inaccuracies. As you read along in your King James, you know, you've corrected a lot of the pronouns. You know, charity means love. I mean, you have in many places corrected it. So it's not reading that bad for us. In our class of translations, the King James comes out about the middle of the pack. NAS places in the top 10. Living Bible and Good News place in the bottom 10. King James comes out about average. I also said that 34.8% of Americans read the King James still. And so to put too much heat on it and ridicule it is, I think, to make a mistake. Here are some arguments that Ruckman uses, just to kind of give you the flavor of Ruckman. King James honors Christ. So does the Westcott and Hort Greek. Go ahead.
Does he point out, or does he even mention Hoffenhauer? Does Ruckman base upon the TR?
First Rotherham was based on Tregelles. Second and third edition of Rotherham are based on Westcott and Hort. Rotherham himself did some Old Testament textual criticism and some new. Never really published anything on it. But he spent most of his time translating, figuring that it would take a lifetime to do each, and he only had one lifetime, so he translated instead of involved in textual criticism. Another argument for the King James: it has no copyright. You can't copyright God's Word. Now, to me, this type of argument is just a burst of ignorance. Why is the King James not copyrighted? Because it's in the public domain, that's why. It's in the public domain. You can't copyright it. It's not just because it's God's Word. And I have a quote. Is the King James copyrighted? No. Why? Because you can't copyright God's Word. You can only copyright man's Word. Now that is just a burst of ignorance. The King James dates 1611, and that's why you can't copyright it. RSV you can copyright, and they keep renewing the copyright because there's a lot of money in it. Once there's no more money, they won't renew the copyright. I think ASV is in the public domain, and ERV too, which means anybody can print an ASV. But an RSV, by the way, the National Council of Churches owns the copyright. They've made millions of dollars off the RSV. Zondervan owns the copyright of NIV. The copyright of Rotherham is still renewed and owned by a woman in California.
What does it mean to be in public domain?
Public domain means that anybody can publish it and there are no royalties.
And that's just because there was no copyright laws in 1611
and
cover?
Yeah. Yeah, and then there had been no renewal of it. And I don't know. Don't things eventually become dated after a certain amount of time? Yeah. Anybody can print Shakespeare. Anybody can print loads of different books as they're in the public domain. But you couldn't print our book on tongues without paying us royalties, because we have copyrighted it. And it's the same with music. There's a lot of songs in the public domain. There are other songs that are copyrighted. And if you want to publish them or sell them on tape, you have to pay royalties to whoever owns the copyright. Go ahead. They've been trying to get the copyright, but to my knowledge, they've never been. The woman in California won't sell it to the Watchtower Society. Now, if they ever get the copyright, you know they're going to print it. And so obviously they haven't printed it yet. I'm kind of hoping that they don't get it, because it'll just bring more negative against Rotherham and make it seem more like a Jehovah's Witness bias translation. Perhaps inheritance, I don't know. I think it's a distant relative of Rotherham or something. I don't really know. Ruckman argues that the King James is superior because it's a Bible in the universal language of the end time, translated under a monarchy, Ecclesiastes 8:4. It's a Bible coming from the place on earth where all time is determined and where all locations are determined. Now, all time is determined from Greenwich, England. And all locations are determined. Don't they start the longitude and latitude lines somewhere in England or something?
Yeah.
Same place. So that then gives the King James one up on the rest. Also, it's a Bible from an island nation that could reach the entire world and go to the moon via ships and spaceships, etc. And my opinion is that the U.S. is just as much an island nation, and every other nation is a continent and an island somewhere. All of this kind of arguing just shows how ridiculous this whole thing is. Ruckman says, if you admit one error in the King James, then stand up and say the Bible's infallible, you're a hypocrite. Says you're a hypocrite.
The King James Version really messes up some of the prepositions. And I wonder, I don't hear anything about that. Has nobody...
Ruckman defends that. Advanced Revelation.
Advanced Revelation.
Go ahead.
Somebody asked earlier in the class about Easter in Acts 12.
Ruckman defends that. He defends Easter in Acts 12, even though the Greek is Pascha, which means Passover. I can't remember his argument there. I may have it in my notes. He defends that as saying that should be translated Easter. Let me see if I have anything more here before time runs out. Of course, most Baptists disagree with him.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Billy Graham's a Baptist.
Here's another one. King James. James is the Greek, from the Greek form of the Hebrew Jacob. The name of Israel. Go ahead.
But Billy Graham passes out the Living New Testament at this meeting. He's a Baptist.
Yes.
Isn't he a liberal?
Not a liberal in the classic sense, because Billy Graham is very conservative on a lot of issues that are classified as liberal conservative issues. So one that reads the Living Bible is not just a liberal. There are a lot of conservatives that read Living Bible. In fact, the reason for Living Bible is so you can understand the Bible. Liberals don't care to understand the Bible. Conservatives do. So really, Living Bible has its greatest circulation among conservatives. Many other arguments here that are just so silly. Do you know how that evolutionists always want to create the argument? They always want to throw the argument into a science religion format. They always want to set the battleground as science versus religion instead of let's talk about science and see what it really supports, creation or evolution. They always want to talk about religious bigotry versus science. T.R. King Jamesers always want to throw the argument into truth versus liberals. So they always want to fight you on the battleground of truth versus liberals, which means if you take the Westcott and Hort side, you're taking the liberal side. It's a pretty tough fight to take. Also, if you argue against evolution, you're taking the religious bigotry side. That's a pretty tough side to defend. Then you have to defend the Catholics who persecuted Galileo, who was the first, you know, who tried to talk about the solar system with the sun as the center instead of whatever else they called it, with the earth as the center. And, you know, you have to defend all the Catholic Church's mistakes when you try to argue religion versus science. I hate to get in that front. I always say, when I talk to evolutionists, I always say, yes, brother, let's leave religion out of it. And they go, leave religion out of it? Yes, sir, Reese, sir. Let's leave all the superstition of evolution and all these other nonsense tales out. Let's talk about science. Let's talk about facts. Let's talk about data. Let's not talk about religion. I don't want to talk about Paul Bunyan. And I certainly don't want to talk about ooze producing some monkey or some man in a number of steps. I mean, let's talk about science. Any other questions?
We've been talking about the test. Do we have a date on that yet?
Is it the Tuesday when we come back? Do you want it that Tuesday or the week later? A week from today. You want a week from today? Okay.
That's what you said. You want to put it off for a week longer.
Well, let's have it a week from today. Final test.